Father, thank you for this class. Amen. Mark chapter 7, I think we must be the beginning of a change in church. And though we be a small number, I think that in this class, our number is not as small as it seems because there's more people watching online. And then, of course, the people that you talk to will be converted as well. I mean, that's the way conversion happens, the way spreading happens. But we will have to be sticklers for truth and not a ritual. And we will have to stand on that and make sure that everything that we do concerning our Christ lives is surrounded by truth. What has happened to us, and I've said this before, but I may be saying it a different way, what has happened to us is that we have been entrenched in tradition and religions of men. Now, the word tradition is not a bad word. This, you celebrate your birthday. Tradition is every year, right? We got this holiday. We just finished Thanksgiving. Christmas, you know, your Christmas tradition. Some people open on New Year's Eve. Some people go by their family. Some people do different things. That's not a bad thing. The word tradition is not inherently negative. But when it comes down to God and traditions of men, it becomes a problem. When you begin to follow, and this is something we got to follow, it's not just tradition, but traditions of men. So what is that? Well, those are things that man has come up with to ease their way of doing things. If you know me, you know what I stand for. Jesus is looking for all of it. He don't want half. He don't want a piece. He want all of you. He don't want your little sacrifice anymore. That's Old Testament. Now you the sacrifice. Are you understanding me? He want it all. But man, sometimes, and we are always looking for ways to get the same amount of effect without giving the same amount of seed. Are you understanding me? We're looking for loopholes. There's no loophole past crucifixion. The dying has no loophole. You got to give it up. Are you understanding me? But traditions of men have come up with things that seem cool. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it says, though you give your body to be burned and though you sing with the tongues of angels and you do all these different things, but have not charity or have not love or have not the capacity to give it all up no matter what, then all those things are nothing. You're tinkling, it's like a tinkling cymbal, a sound in brass. It makes no sense if you have not been founded in that love, which is about giving everything up. You get what I'm saying? About giving your whole commission, your whole thought, your whole process to that motion, to what God wants. And so now we're traditional. So now we take communion traditional. We give traditional. We pray traditional. We worship traditional. We come to service on Sundays and Wednesdays in a traditional manner, thinking that we're doing something for God. And those traditions have made the word of God, which is who you really are, of none effect. Yeah, listen to what I'm saying. Mark 7, look right there. Mark chapter 7, and I don't want to read it out of context. Mark chapter 7, verse 13, this is the one that you know, but then we'll read back up at the beginning. Verse 13, it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. And there's another one that says it another way, but I don't have time to go there. Let me see. But if you jump up to verse 6, he begins to explain what's going on and how we contort the word. We'll take the scriptures and try to make them fit our convenience. Amen. We'll take even over in Ephesians 4, we'll read in a minute, but we'll take the scripture and because of vanity, in vain, the word vain comes up a lot. In vain, vanity means just about you. Vanity means that you're just trying to save yourself. Vanity means that you're making decisions based on you and nothing else. You get it? Vanity causes you not to give your life. Vanity causes you not to give it all up. Vanity causes you not to put yourself on the line. Vanity, 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 vanity. So this whole time, he's talking about what's really said and what's really supposed to happen, and then what we decide to do because of the vanity of our minds. You get it? And so now all of the church traditions have caused us, as powerful as we are, to be ineffective. Right? Now, if you look across the church as a whole right now, you see this ineffective. Huh? Yes, sir. I mean, we don't have any face to save. We don't have any ego to save in church right now. I don't have any banner to hold up to try to make it look better than what it is. Let's call it what it is. You can't fix something until you call it what it is. As a span across the world right now, we not winning. Yeah. I know we won. In Jesus' name, we got the victory. Right? But I need to see some victories today. Right? I need to see some wins on your street today. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to see these wins. I need effect then. And so now we're about to be mindful of tradition. The traditions and the religions have snuck in, and they look good. They're cute. They're pretty. They're dainty. Ain't no blood got to be spilled. Ain't nobody got to get ugly for that one. I know we get ugly for Jesus. Yeah, right. But you don't really, I remember in the old sacrifice days, and people, we read over the Bible, and I love the other class living by the book too, because we read over the Bible, sometimes we don't stay there and understand what we're talking about. So we don't really understand the effect of what some things really mean. Like, I remember when they're talking about Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings, right? You don't understand what that means. You don't understand how long that took. You don't understand what the price that was paid to do 1,000 burnt offerings. If you ever been around any cattle before, anybody ever been around any cattle, like close up on cattle, you've been around cattle, well, you know that's not an easy thing just to get them to do what you want them to do first. But then you're talking about taking those and making a burnt offering. The way they did the burnt offering in those days, you had to kill it, drain it of the blood, because the blood was a sacrifice. You had to burn everything. You had to burn it all. Then you had to make sure that the cattle that you were using was acceptable, right? You had to do this. I worked cattle. My dad is cattle. I worked them with them before. It's not an easy thing to do just to even give them the shots and to check them out and to make sure that they're good, just to run them through. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not. It takes a long time just to do a nice little herd, and that's giving shots. What's the thing about killing them and making a sacrifice and burning it till it's gone? You got to burn it till it's gone. I remember I used to see Jesus do the sacrifice. When God used to tell him to do the sacrifice in the Old Testament, you burn it till it's gone, right? And so the context of what it really takes and how grimy and how much effort it had to take really gives you an example of what the sacrifice really meant. These are days and days of work getting done. These are days and days of people putting their hands to getting these sacrifices done. These are days and days of people getting down and ugly for what they wanted to show God, how much they wanted to offer. And so, you know, we're cute. We got our ties on and our dresses, and God bless it. But sometimes the tradition lets us tiptoe through what truly needs to happen. You get it? And so we get dressed and we come on time and we do all the sacraments and all the things that we should do, but we still miss the power. And I'm not saying you got to get down and dirty to get the power. But what I'm saying is those things can be deceitful. Surely you ain't going to die. Right? See how simple it is? Oh, no, you don't have to do all, no. No, you can do this over here. It still looks good. You still be smart, knowledge of good and evil. Y'all get what I'm saying? Yes, sir. And the deceiver deceives you from life. Yes, sir. Or the power that's in life by traditions. It started back then just by tradition, by doing things that seem nice. And is something wrong with your suit? Nothing wrong with your suit. Something wrong with dress? Nothing wrong with dress. Is something wrong with, nothing is wrong with that. But if that becomes, I said in another class, if that becomes the foundation, right, now you have nothing to stand on. Right. Yeah. Are you understanding me? So the tradition. So tradition. So we got to get those traditional thoughts and those traditional processes and those traditions of men. Remember this, traditions of men. Ephesians 4, go over there real quick. I want to put another scripture right with this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, we're going to read a little bit more, but it says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about, listen, with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of who? Yeah. Men and cunning craftiness, whereby," we just talked about this, "whereby they lie and wait to deceive." Are y'all seeing that? And the only reason, I found something out. And I found this to be true. I found this to be true in just my personal life. That whenever you start talking about giving it all up, right, and dying, people get uncomfortable. And they're looking for a way around that. Even if you're the way. Right, even they got to throw you out there just to make sure. You get what I'm saying? It becomes uncomfortable. And so a lot of times, Men preach doctrines and they preach messages and they preach sermons because they don't want to give it up. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And it's always trying to find a loophole to being everything it's supposed to be. Now, I'll say this now and I'll say it again. There is no shortcut to the power of God. There is no shortcut. There is no bypass. There is no other way. The only way is to you dying to yourself and becoming alive to the true nature of Christ on the inside of you. There is no other way. It ain't going to be in no rag. It's not going to be in no awe. It's not going to be in somebody laying their hands on you. It's not going to be if you lay on the altar all day for 2 days. It's not going to be on any of those little rituals that you think you're going to do. At the end of the day, you got to die to you and become alive to Christ. There is no bypass. Are y'all hearing me? There's no way around it. There's no ritual that you can do. By the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. And this talks about vanity, all of these scriptures. Scroll up a little bit. Go back. Stay in chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1. There's a... There's something that we're going to have to decide to do. This is what I'm saying to you. Church. Everybody say church.
Church.
Church is not a spectator sport. All right? It is now. Most Sundays is a spectator sport. You come in and see what the preacher got to say. And God bless that. Nothing's wrong with that. See, nothing's wrong with that. All right? What about you? That doesn't mean you ain't got to get up on the pulpit. But it's not a spectator sport. It's not I came to watch the game. And just because you lift your hands a little bit doing praise and worship while they were singing don't mean you participate. That don't necessarily mean you're in the game. And the game don't really stop. It don't stop when they ring the bell. All right, church over. You are dismissed. To the playing field, right. We dismiss you to the playing field. Y'all get what I'm saying? And so it's not a spectator. It's full contact. Yeah, it wants everything. You give me a word. Yeah. This ain't touch. This ain't flag right here. This is put your pads on. It's about to be Smash Mouth. Y'all get what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what church really is. We made it a dainty, cute little thing. It's a pretty little on the sideline little thing. Y'all go do, you know, what apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. They ain't gonna do the work. They gotta go the work of the ministry. No. That ain't what they say. Now, I ain't got time. I don't read from chapter 1. I'll read verse 1. We'll get that. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Walk worthy of the what? Walk worthy of the vocation with what? You called. All right, now watch this. He's not talking to some preachers here. He ain't preaching to the priest. He's talking to the church. In Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. But he's talking to church here. Talking to people. Okay. And it says, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond and peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. Who called? Who's called? The same you. It's the same you now. They said you walk further the vocation wherewith you are called. So now he's still talking to you, all right? Right? So, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, oh, you got a calling now. One Lord. Now, he didn't call you nothing now. He didn't call you anything. He just said you got a calling. So you don't think you got a call until somebody call you something. If somebody gave you a reverend or a minister or some papers or whatever, now you think you're called. No. You was called when you was born. No, you was called the day you were conceived. See, really what happened to you, Will, is that the Bible says the earth groaneth until now, travaileth until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons. And there was something that the earth was calling for that you were the answer to. Uh-oh. Listen, I don't think you think that deep. You thought you just had a birthday. You see how small you thought of yourself? How small we allowed ourselves to think of ourselves? You thought you just hit. No, there's a reason. There was something that was calling on the day that you got here. Even before then. Well, we can go back to Jeremiah. I ain't got time to go to it, but he said, before you was formed in the belly, I knew you. Well, you came out of danger, sanctified. I made you a prophet to the nation. I made you something already. I was just waiting for the time that the earth was calling for you so I could send you, because you were the direct answer for what they were calling for. Why? How many calls have gone unanswered because you didn't know you were called? And how much deception have you been deceived in just because you thought that the reverends were called? Well, you know what the word reverend comes from, right? The word reverence. That means it's revering something. So are you revered? Reverend, I'm talking to y'all. Are y'all get what I'm talking about? Sometimes titles have got us in a place, so we don't know where we are. Y'all get me? And there's nothing wrong with the title, but it's our perception, our perspective, and our relationship with all these things. See, titles can be traditional too. I know so many apostles. I know so many prophets and prophetesses. I don't know if that's how you say it in the plural. I know so many pastors and evangelists and teachers, and then they start naming each other all kind of other stuff. I know so many of them. All of them ain't called. Not to be that. Everybody called, but sometimes that's not your calling. But it's cool. When you start saying that the apostles the head, well, everybody want to be the CEO. Everybody want to be boss. Everybody want to be the boss. Nobody wants to work for nobody. Right. Come on, amen. Come on. So now I'm going to call my boss. I'm going to be a pastor so they can tell me so that I can have me a church. But I don't care about none of that. I got doctor, reverend, minister, pastor, whatever you want to call. I don't care about none of that. I care about it. I respect it, but it ain't that makes me. You get it? I knew that whether there was another pulpit to preach on, whether there's another class to teach, whether there's another church to go to, whether there's another suit to put on, whether there's another person waiting for me to do something, to lay hands, whatever. I'm not worried about all that. I know that the day that I got here, something in this earth was calling for me. And I'd be doggone if I leave here without fulfilling the call. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So now you're calling. One God, one Father of all, is above all and through all and in you all. But if everyone is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ is powerful. Wherefore he said when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he also ascended, what is it? But also that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill how many things? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Right? Verse 12, read. Stop. Maturing, growing up. Holiness. Right? What's the second part? The work of the passing it out. The work of passing out the maturity and the perfection and the wholeness. Y'all see it? What's the next one? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, you can't have one of those without the other. You get it? Ain't no edification without no perfecting, right? All those it's all one motion. It's like when you're swinging the bat, you know you pull back but it's all one motion. Like it's all one thing, perfecting for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. It's all one motion. Are y'all get what I'm saying? That's how tight knit it is. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So now it's saying, until we all measure up to Christ. Then it goes now in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Now why that is so important in verse 14, after we've talked about the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, edifying the body, why this is so important? Because traditions of men have made you ineffective when you need to be effective in this whole process. See, it's not a spectator's thing when we watch apostle lay hands on people and he's going to get them healed. Even Jesus, this is what I'm trying to tell you, even Jesus was all involving in everything that he was doing. Remember he fed the 5,000? Yeah. Well, before he did this, he asked one of the disciples, he said, well, how are we gonna feed all these people? But then the Bible says, and it made it clear, it said, but this he said to test them, for he knew already what he was going to do. But why would you ask these questions if you already knew what you was going to do? Right? Because I'm trying to include you. Because I'm trying to see if you are going to say what I say. What are you going to believe like I showed you it works on the last miracle? Because I'm trying to include you. Because I understand, listen, Christ himself understood that he could not change the motion of this whole world physically on this earth by himself. Whom do men say that I am? Why didn't he know who he was? Why do I need your validation? It wasn't that he needed the validation. He needed to know that you knew. And he needed to know not only that you knew who he was, but that you knew who you were. Because if you know him, you know. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So now it's not a spectator sport. Because this chapter right here, Paul, the apostle Paul starts to tell you, he starts to activate you a little bit. He starts to activate you and tell you what's going on with you. Yes, thank God for the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. Yes, they're here for a reason. What? To perfect us, to mature us, to grow us up, to make us whole, right? To make us full of purpose, right? To teach us how to pass out these things that are on the inside of us. See, really what you're passing out is identity. See, you know you, so then somebody else can know you, and then they know them. Are y'all understanding the process? And this is the edifying of the body. Building up the body of Christ. Like Christ's body. Christ is Christ. His body don't need to be built. No, yes, his body does need to be built because there are members of his body right now that don't know their place. And so now we can't walk like we should. You didn't know how to run the play. You didn't know where you were supposed to block. You didn't know where you were supposed to run around the screen. You didn't know. Because nobody told you the plays. Are y'all hearing me? So now, these traditions, right? These traditions, these doctrines of men have come in and deactivated us. I want to say it again. It has deactivated who we are. So we are no longer active members of the processing of the church, which is who we are. I am church, say it. But we're no longer activated. We're lying dormant because we're doing the traditions. Are y'all understanding me? Now, I believe that there are some traditions that mean well, right? Yeah. Because you mean well don't mean you do well. Are you understanding me? There are some the law, the book of the law meant well. I mean, thou shalt not kill. Well, I'm sure it probably curbed the murder rate a little bit, right? But it didn't deal with that anger. See, the law, y'all ready? The law dealt with the hand, but not the heart. See, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. This is Romans. Y'all get me? So what the law was doing was the traditions, right? The law was dealing with the hand, so don't kill. But it didn't tell me how to curb my anger. It didn't tell me, because it tell me don't do this, but what do I do? Because if I'm right now, Will, it's a killable offense, right? I mean, we got some stuff that'll come up that's, you know, there's some things you can do to my family that's a killable offense. Some things you're gonna say to my daddy, I'm gonna call him my daddy, my daddy. And some things some things you're gonna try to do, it's a killable offense for me. I'm just being honest with you, all right? We still got a little more work to do, right? It's a killable offense. So now, I've been there. No, I ain't talking. I've been there. These are offenses. I don't wanna tell you all my story. I've been on the road behind somebody. Yeah, with something on the floor. With it on my mind. All I see is red. What do we do then? Who then can save us? Something else got to come up. There's something else that got to come up. There's some other things. There's some other virtues. Because we all got that crazy stuff in us. Right, amen. Yeah, we all got that in. That's easy. We can get that crazy stuff popping like that. We ain't got to pray in no tongues. We ain't got to read no scriptures. It on sight, right? But they're true you, right? When love. See, I couldn't. You can't even get that love. You start your mind starts studying. You ain't say that your mind. You break, love who? Love your neighbor, like you love. Pray. You know, we pray. We start talking. I don't know if I told you this class, but pray means to make a request. It's not just communication with God. We learned it was communication with God. But then when I did some more research, I realized that it was making a demand and a request. Right? Because communication with God could be anything. Yes. You can say, right? No, but we're making a request. Something that makes up move. And so now you had a request for you. And what do you request? The safety from you. You get it? But y'all understand it. You forgive. So now thou shalt not kill. Okay, cool. But what am I doing with these emotions? You got to tell me something else because my hands are ready to go. And that nature says, let's do it. He going to forgive us after. You know, did y'all know, I'm going to give you a little Bible history. You know that Cain killed Abel, right? Cain had a grandson that killed a man and just was like, well, God forgave my grandfather, so he going to forgive me. And that's when they knew, we got to get something. We got to get a law or something because these people out here, they think they can do whatever. So it started dealing with that, the law. It started dealing with it, and I think it meant well for the time. But there was no personality behind it. You get it? There was no, God was still God, and he wasn't the Father. So there was no blood running through it. There was no personality running through it. There was no heart in it. It was just some instructions that were trying to be followed. But they were failing miserably. And we do the same, don't we? Yes, traditional. Come on. Yes. Come on, we try to do it. Come on, y'all. We try to do the right thing, right? Right. Trying to be on time. I'm just using service on Sunday morning. We try to come to prayer on Saturday. Like I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm singing. I'm doing all the stuff. I turned in my group me when I was doing group me. I was 100% attendance. Like I was trying to do these things and praise God for them, but they were supposed to be leading me to something deeper. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Are you understanding me? And thank God for a ministry like this, a school like this. And there were others that do well, but thank God for the one that we have. Amen. Right? Because it not only leaves us with the rule or the thing that starts us off, but it also brings us in to the point. Because I know I increased on a lot of different things because some of those things that I had to be held to the wall about. You get what I'm saying? But those traditions, listen to what I'm trying to say, it has deactivated, right? All these other things have deactivated the power that you are. Now, your power ain't got to be, well, thus said, and I don't know why all prophecies start with thus said the Lord, because nobody talks like that. Hey, man, I be trying to tag some of this stuff. You know, like, I do, right? Right? Like, nobody be like, hey, thus said Montreal, call him in a little bit. Like, no, nobody said that, but automatically when we get to, it's like Jesus, it's like God is still in, like God's still in some BC, you know what I'm saying? And so when he talks, he's talking from way back. No, God's still talking 2017. Prophecy probably going to tell you, hey, listen, the Lord told me to tell y'all, get up. Stop talking so much, get up. You see what I'm saying? They'll probably talk to you like you talk. But as soon as thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, so you're trying to make an announcement, right? And then you go on to your prophecy. And you think that's the gifts. When that ain't it. The Bible talks about designing them good gifts. Everybody want to be that. And now you're desiring to do this so bad that you miss the thing right now where you're standing that you're activated to be. You get it? Because now the scripture tells me that just keep reading down. But speak the truth in love may grow up in him in how many things? Which is the head, even Christ. And watch this. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, what? Supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So every joint supplies the effectual working of every part. That means every part has an effectiveness. Every part, oh, watch this, every joint what? Supply. So that means you got a supply of the Spirit. You have a supply on the inside of you that needs to be given to the body. Are y'all understanding me? So I'll say this to you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you, and I want you to listen to me clear. It is time for you to be activated. We don't need a holy oil service. We don't need anybody to send you a letter and tell you, hey, you're activated today. No, you were activated when you got here. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? It's time. The root word of activated is to be active. Y'all get what I'm saying? To actively participate, right? It is time for you to be activated. I was walking in the class, and I had to go handle some business. I walked in a little tardy. I had to handle some business. Apostles was calling me. When boss called, I got to answer. I don't care what's going on, right? And as I'm walking out to go downstairs, I run into one of your classmates. He said something was going on. So immediately, I don't have time to say, well, Apostle, somebody says you got to pray for him because you got the anointing. No. So give me that hand. And we call it what it's going to be. We don't care what nobody said. I called it what it's going to be. And that's a wrap. And all I said was call me back with the report because I know it's going to be good. And last thing, well, I said, no fear. You get it? Activate. Like, you're going to be sitting next to somebody on Sunday. They ain't got time to go to the altar. They ain't got time to go up there and get hands laid on them. Are y'all understanding me? At that moment, there's going to be something going on right then. You're going to have to put your hands on them. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? There's times there are going to be people that want to be born again but don't want to take that walk, and you're going to pray with them at the seat. And they ain't going to make no big deal about it. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And I'm just using those things. Are y'all getting me? Being activated. And it's not even just when you're here. Somebody walk up to you and just start randomly talking to you. What you think that is? I'm just so friendly. No. And you might be. Something going on. That don't mean you got to say, well, you know the Bible said, nope, just, come on, it's too, come on, just chill. Come on. Hey, everybody breathe in and breathe out. Like the anointing works like that. Like it's just that smooth. My yoke is easy. Listen, I'm not going to put you in no, we learned that it's going to put you in a weird spot and now you got to crucify yourself in front of people and now you got to, you know, just, no. It's not that weird. That's the tradition. That's weird. No, stop. Right? It might be in a conversation. It might be something that you say that may be biblical, but you don't have to go to the scripture to say it's biblical. Because you are the word. Woo! You understand me? You may not have to bring them in the building because you are the church. They just went to church in a sitting room or in a line or at the counter. Church. It was a quick church service. We had a 2-minute church service. Right? Y'all get what I'm saying? Activate. Listen. Too long have we allowed ourselves to be spectators, and this is one of the reasons that the power hadn't been generated. Yes, sir. You get it? So we come in and we're waiting for apostles to give us a word. Yes, sir. Even y'all go to class tomorrow. Y'all go to class tomorrow? Amen. Even you go to class tomorrow, don't walk in looking for a word. Walk in knowing that you are the word, and he's about to show you who you are. Right? Are y'all getting me? Yes, sir. This is Jesus. Jesus kept on saying, your faith made you whole. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen no great faith. No, he kept on talking about you. Yeah. You did it. I just showed up and was a point of God. But you did this. Your belief did it. Mm. Your growth. And then he told him more. He said, Jesus, let me come. The boy is cutting this up. Don't come with me. You can't come with me. I want you to go back to your town and tell them what was going on. You get it? Activate. Everybody say activate.
Activate.
Come on, say activate.
Activate.
I almost feel like you're pushing the button and turning it on. Are you understanding me? And so it is high time and overdue for us to be active in the process. Now, just because you're singing the praise team, you all right? Right? Because you work in children's church, you know what I'm saying? We do, you know, you don't know the different auxiliary work in, right? Just because we do those things, God bless those. Yes, sir. I appreciate them. That don't mean you're fully activated, although you be activated that too. Yes, sir. You get it? Yes, sir. The scripture, the Bible says, through desire, a man separated himself, and he said, intermeddled with all wisdom. Scripture, I don't know exactly where it is right now, We see through a desire. Another scripture says, delight yourself in the law, you give the desires of your heart. And we think it's all this stuff that we want and all these different things we've been praying for. And you haven't been praying for the right way anyway, right? But it's a desire. And I found out something that I started desiring to be in the game. I didn't want to sit on the bench. And sometimes the game caused you to get cut and get bruised. But I desired to be in the game, but not just so that I can be a star, or not just so they can throw me the ball, but I want to play my part. I don't care who run across the line, but let me throw a block right quick. You get what I'm saying? Let me make a pass. Let me do something, but I want to get in the game. I'm not one of the ones that's ready to sit on the side and then watch everybody else do it. No, I don't know how good a coach I'd be. I'd probably be a pretty good coach, but I want to be a player coach. Like, I put me in the game, coach. And what happened, well, listen to me. What happened was I began to desire. I didn't want any more. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I got fed up with delay. I got tired of delay. They that wait up on the line. Yes, that's y'all's scripture. Y'all get what I'm talking about? And we traditionally took that scripture and missed everything it was saying. Right? I got tired of delay, brother. I got tired of it. I don't want to wait anymore. Like, I got tired of delay. Either now faith is or now ain't faith is, right? But the Bible says now faith is. So now I don't have to. That's why Jesus, he wasn't waiting on no, he wouldn't pray for 3 hours and then the little girl got up. No, she got up. Lazarus come forth. Lazarus got up. He didn't pray and tarry no 3 days. What we be doing? Tarrying. We're tarrying. So I got tired of, so I didn't want any delay. I didn't want delay. Like, I didn't want to be getting an echo of the instruction. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I didn't want the instruction to bounce off the wall. I do music. And when you're doing music, you have to pad the walls. You have to pad the soundproof them. And I didn't know why for a long time. I just thought it was cool. It looked cool. And I was like, all right, cool. And then the room is quiet. But then I realized that whenever you say something, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Whenever sound hits a wall, it comes back off the wall and it changes key every time. So my problem was I would have a microphone and I would sing it right. I would sing the note right, but then when I go back and listen to the recording, it's kind of pitchy because the bounce back from the wall came back another key and it wasn't the original sound. Wow. So it was messing up my recording. It was messing up all the ideas that I had and it was just messing them up. You get it? And so I had to pad that. Pad that so it wouldn't be bouncing all over the place, but it'd be direct. Are y'all getting me? I just got tired of the echo instructions or being late for the party. I didn't want to be late. I didn't want to be late for the manifestation. So I started desiring now faith. I started desiring to be activated, right? And watch what happened. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you what happened. I began to, and it's nothing about me. I'm not special. God is no respecter of person. I'm not, it's none of that. All right, so let's get over that for a quick second. That's another tradition. You better than me. Ain't nobody better than nobody. Are y'all understanding me? But through my desire, I began to, and I'm not saying the Lord started saying Montreal, and I'm not trying to be deep, but it wasn't even like that. It was just I started getting the inkling. And I started getting the inkling, I started getting desire for certain things. And I started getting a pull for certain things. And I started to see certain things that I wasn't seeing before. And I started seeing things to correct something in the service. Or to go touch something over there in that auxiliary. Or to do something over here to correct them. And then, you know, you got to be mindful because you still got to follow authority. Amen. You can't just get out there and start doing all kinds of stuff. Amen. Right? But he showed it to me, and I began to step in that direction. Then the apostle called me and said, you know what? This morning, he called me for service. This morning, I want to do blah, 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 blah. I'm prepared. I'm ready because I've been working that out already. Not because I'm so deep, but my desire. My desire to be activated made it easy for my general to call me and make a move, and I've already set things in play. They got two types of people. You got people that hear direction from the Lord, and then it connects to the man of God, right? Or you got people that got to wait for the man of God to tell them something, which call a delay. Those are the draggers in church. So now what you praying about? What are you praying about? I guarantee if you stop praying about the stuff that you're praying about for you and start praying about the grand scheme and the grand vision of things, then God will begin to speak some real things to you, right? And that on the course of you doing those things and fulfilling the commission, he'll take care of the stuff you got. Seek ye first what? And his righteousness. And what happens? All these. Because he know that you have need of all these. So I found out prayer ain't for things. If all the things going to be added, what I need to pray for them about? Are y'all understanding me? Activated. There's an activation. There is something. Say this and I'm done. There is something and there is some power that the church as a whole is going to miss if I don't activate myself. Are y'all getting me? Don't let the traditions deactivate you. Be activated. There are gifts on the inside. Ephesians 4, if you read it slow, you really hear what it's saying. If you read it slow, it won't cross over your head and it'll start talking to you. When he's talking about gave gifts unto, talking to you. What words of vacation wherewith? Mm-hmm. Amen.